This episode's audio was generated using AI technology. If I told you that making your junior developers 40% faster is actually destroying your senior engineers' productivity.
I mean, it sounds completely counterintuitive, right? But that is exactly what we're seeing in the data.
Welcome to another episode of Kernel Panic. Today, we are looking way beyond the surface level marketing of all these AI coding tools.
Yeah, we are ripping the lid off the actual concrete production level impact these systems are having,
yep, you
know, on architecture, on technical debt, and frankly, the human side of software engineering.
Exactly, because the reality on the ground right now in 2026 is just vastly different from those utopian sales pitches we were all subjected to a couple of years ago.
Oh, absolutely. The tools have evolved, sure, but so have the structural bottlenecks. They've just shifted.
Right. So to understand what is actually breaking in your production pipelines right now, we've compiled a pretty serious stack of sources for you.
A very serious stack.
Yeah, we've got this rigorous academic paper from Tilburg University analyzing open source software repositories right after the introduction of GitHub Copilot.
Which is fascinating data. And we also have a highly detailed technical teardown comparing Anthropic's Claude code and the newly GA'd GitHub Copilot CLI.
And on top of that, we have these leaked internal reports detailing massive, just completely wild AI budget blowouts at companies like Uber and Microsoft.
So our mission for this session is to basically map out the hidden architectural and financial costs of agentic coding.
Right. We're going to explore how these tools are fundamentally shifting the daily workload of your senior engineers and why this whole token maxing culture is forcing enterprise CFOs to basically freak out and implement strict governance.
Yeah, they're stepping in hard.
So whether you are making high-level architectural decisions or you're managing a team of developers or, you know, you're just trying to survive the incoming tsunami of AI-generated pull requests, this intelligence is essential for you.
You really need to understand the baseline to grasp the financial and tooling crises happening right now. And that means starting at the foundational layer.
The raw code actually being shipped to repositories.
Exactly. We need to look at the volume and, more importantly, the quality of that output. Which brings us right to that Tilburg University research.
Right, and this study is brilliant because of how they actually isolated the data. They use this difference in differences methodology.
Yeah, which is a great statistical approach.
It is. If you aren't familiar with it, it basically means they didn't just look at code volume going up and, you know, guess that AI caused it. They used the staggered rollout of GitHub Copilot to measure its impact.
Because remember, Copilot initially only supported specific languages, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Python, JavaScript, Ruby, TypeScript, and Go.
Exactly. So they used those as the treatment group on Microsoft-owned open source projects and compared them against a control group of unsupported languages like C and Java.
It's perfect. It isolates the variable completely. The AI tool is literally the only different factor between the two groups.
And the headline finding from that isolated data is just massive. They saw a 17.7% increase in total lines of code added.
Yeah.
Right. And a 4.3% increase in pull requests. So developers are just shipping significantly more code.
But, and this is the big but, volume is just a metric of activity. It is not necessarily a metric of progress.
Exactly. And the research zeroes in on the mechanism behind this volume. They call it vibe coding.
Vibe coding. I honestly love that term because it's so accurate.
It really is. Explain how that actually works in practice.
So this happens when developers, especially those newer to a specific code base, they just use natural language prompts to rapidly explore solutions.
Right. They aren't writing tests first or anything.
No rigid upfront technical specifications at all. They just start conversing with the LLM. They maintain this flow state and just generate blocks and blocks of logic.
Which feels great for the developer. It creates this incredible illusion of speed.
It does. But because it is so conversational and iterative, it introduces entirely underspecified requirements. You get fast output, but it is fundamentally flawed.
And the critical metric from the Tilburg study that proves this, the one that really stood out to me, is the rework rate.
Yes. The rework rate is the canary in the coal mine.
Right. They tracked a 2.4% increase in pull request rework.
meaning the AI-generated code fails repository standards way more often when it's initially submitted.
Yeah, it requires more follow-up commits, you know, more revisions, just endless patching just to get it into a mergeable state.
It's like building a skyscraper without blueprints.
Right.
It looks like you're moving incredibly fast, right? Floor after floor is going up in record time until you actually try to install the plumbing.
And you realize none of the vertical pipes align between the floors.
Exactly. And retrofitting plumbing inside a sealed skyscraper is structurally dangerous, and it is incredibly expensive.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate here for a second. Let me push back on this.
Go for it.
A 2.4% increase in rework sounds like a tiny, almost negligible price to pay for what they found was a massive 43.5% surge in commits from novice developers.
It does sound small on paper.
Right. Like, doesn't the sheer volume of output completely make up for a few extra revision cycles? I mean, you are getting so much more feature work done.
It sounds like a really favorable trade-off until you realize how technical debt actually compounds at scale.
Okay, how so?
Well, the generated code might pass your basic functional unit tests, right? Like, it does the specific thing you ask the prompt to do.
Sure, the button turns green.
Exactly. But it often embeds these subtle, localized architectural inconsistencies. So, for example, the AI might implement a direct database query right in a service layer.
Oh, I see.
But your architecture strictly dictates using a centralized repository pattern for that. So the code works locally, but it completely bypasses your caching strategy.
And suddenly you've introduced a localized security weakness or a massive performance bottleneck.
Exactly. These AI tools lower the barrier to entry, which is fantastic for participation. But they encourage developers to just blindly accept generated solutions without understanding the long-term design rationale of the system.
Which leads directly into the maintenance trap. Because if these novice developers are generating 43.5% more commits, that code doesn't just magically deploy itself to production.
No, it definitely does not.
It hits an integration bottleneck. And looking at the data, it seems that bottleneck is entirely made up of your senior engineers.
Yeah. The human side of this equation is stark. Really stark.
Break down the numbers for us.
So the study shows that while peripheral novice contributors massively increased their activity, the core senior contributors saw a 19% drop in their own commit activity.
A 19% drop? That's insane. Your best engineers just stopped building things.
Yeah, because they are spending 6.5% more of their day just reviewing pull requests.
They're just reading other people's AI code.
Right. The experienced developers are pausing their own creative, complex problem solving because they have to spread themselves so thin across more repositories just to review this absolute flood of incoming AI-generated code.
We are watching the real-time transformation of senior creators into reactive code janitors.
Code janitors. That's a brutal phrase, but man, it is accurate.
And this is not just academic theory, you know. We are seeing severe real-world production incidents stemming directly from this exact dynamic.
Oh, totally.
Look at the CRL open source project. Mm-hmm. In early 2026, they had to completely shut down their bug bounty program.
I remember that. Daniel Stenberg was just completely overwhelmed.
Utterly overwhelmed by AI-generated slop. These were automated agents submitting low-quality, hallucinated vulnerability reports over and over again.
And the mechanism of that slop is particularly insidious, because the AI pattern matches against known common vulnerabilities and exposures, right?
Right, so it sounds legitimate.
Exactly. It generates a report that uses all the correct cybersecurity terminology. It points to a real function in the CURL code base, and it sounds highly plausible to a casual reader.
But it's completely made up.
Fundamentally made up.
Wow.
It totally misunderstands the actual execution path or the memory management of the C application, but it takes a human expert like 20 minutes of deep tracing to definitively prove it's a hallucination.
Right, and you multiply that 20 minutes by hundreds of automated submissions a week, and the maintainers literally cannot do their actual jobs.
And this dynamic is exactly how catastrophic security vulnerabilities go unnoticed. I mean, think back to the Heartbleed bug in OpenSSL over a decade ago.
Oh man, yeah.
That happened precisely because a critical piece of global digital infrastructure was maintained by a few overworked, under-resourced volunteers who just missed a subtle missing bounds check.
Yeah, they were exhausted.
Right. So when you flood those same types of maintainers today with AI-generated noise, you are practically guaranteeing the next Heartbleed. you exhaust the reviewers to the point of total failure.
It's like, imagine you're running a commercial kitchen, right? And suddenly you hire 50 junior prep cooks.
Okay, sounds chaotic.
Right, and they're chopping vegetables and searing meats at light speed. But you still only have one head chef who has to taste every single dish before it goes out to the dining room.
The chef would never have time to cook.
Exactly. The chef stops cooking entirely and just becomes this stressed out bottleneck of taste testing.
That's a perfect analogy.
But wait, let's look at the obvious technical solution here. I mean, if the underlying AI models are getting exponentially smarter every month, why can't we just deploy a specialized AI agent to review the AI-generated code?
Ah, the AI to fix AI argument.
Right. Why does this entire burden still fall on the human senior engineers?
Well, that touches on the absolute limit of current contextual windows and, more importantly, systemic reasoning.
How so?
Large language models are highly localized thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, an AI reviewer can spot a syntax error or missed null check or localized memory leak perfectly. It's great at that.
But it misses the big picture.
Completely.
Yeah.
It cannot evaluate if a newly generated feature aligns with the long-term design patterns of a 500,000-line monorepo.
Right.
It does not understand the historical organizational trade-offs your engineering team made, say, 3 years ago, regarding dependency injection or state management.
Because that context isn't just in the code. It's in Jira tickets or Slack or just people's heads.
Exactly. The ease of generating isolated code masks these deep structural gaps. Gaps that only become apparent under expert human scrutiny, someone who holds the entire mental model of the system architecture in their head.
Right. And because human reviewers are drowning and becoming the single point of failure, the tooling ecosystem itself has had to evolve aggressively to try and catch up.
Yeah, the vendors know this is a huge problem.
We have completely moved past the basic, you know, inline autocomplete tools of like 2024.
Yeah.
In 2026, the industry standard has shifted entirely to autonomous multi-file agents.
Agents designed to handle complex repository-wide refactoring. They are trying to solve the exact architectural problem their earlier tools created.
Exactly. So let's break down the two heavyweights competing in this space right now. First, we have Anthropic's Claude Code.
Right, highly anticipated.
According to the Mork Technical Teardown, Claude Code is a terminal-first agent, and it boasts an 80.8% score on the SWE bench using their Opus 4.6 model.
Which is an incredible score. And for context, for you listening, SWE bench isn't just some multiple choice test.
No, it's brutal.
It gives the model a real historical GitHub issue, hands it the entire code base, and it requires it to generate a patch that successfully passes all the underlying unit tests.
Real-world conditions. And Claude Code works by reading your entire repository into this massive 1 million token context window. It plans multi-step changes, but its real defining feature, the thing that stands out, is agent teams.
Yes. Agent teams are fascinating because they enforce determinism.
Explain determinism in this context.
So determinism means that given the exact same prompt and the exact same code base, the agent will produce the exact same result every time.
Which LLMs usually struggle with.
Normally, yes. Claude achieves this by spinning up subagents with dedicated, isolated context windows.
Oh, so instead of one brain trying to hold the whole project.
Exactly. One subagent is strictly focused on, say, the database schema, while another entirely separate agent tracks UI dependencies. This isolation is absolutely vital for predictable production workflows.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, contrast that architecture with the newly GA'd GitHub Copilot CLI. It operates on a completely different philosophy.
Night and day difference.
Right. It auto-delegates to specialized cloud agents, like Explore, Task, Code Review, and Plan. It relies really heavily on background delegation.
Yeah, the ampersand trick.
Yeah, you can just append an ampersand to your terminal command, and it sends this massive refactoring task to a cloud agent, and you just keep working locally in your terminal.
And crucially, it relies on GitHub's built-in model context protocol servers, MCP.
Right, MCP servers. What exactly are those doing under the hood?
They act as universal data translators. They allow the AI to securely query local databases or internal wikis or proprietary APIs, all without the developer having to manually copy-paste schema definitions into the prompt.
So Copilot CLI essentially uses these to fetch context dynamically, rather than loading the whole repository up front like Claude does.
Precisely. It's pulling what it needs when it needs it.
And it also offers multi-model support, right? Letting you hot swap between Claude GPT 5.3 Codex and Gemini 3 Pro.
Which is a huge selling point.
Right. So to summarize the difference, Claude Code is like hiring a dedicated, deeply focused senior architect who sits in a closed room and meticulously maps out the entire building.
Yep.
While Copilot CLI is more like a Swiss Army knife, it constantly delegates tasks to a rotating cast of specialists up in the cloud.
It's a great way to put it.
But the pricing discrepancy between these two approaches is wild. Okay, Copilot Pro is $10 a month.
$10.
Right. Realistic daily use of Claude Code, assuming you are a senior engineer on their max 5X or 20X tier, runs between $100 and $200 a month.
Per engineer.
Per engineer. So wait, if Copilot CLI can utilize the exact same Claude models under the hood via hot swapping for just $10, why on earth would any enterprise pay Anthropic $200 a month for Claude Code?
Because the harness matters just as much as the underlying model.
The harness. You mean how the tool manages the LLM.
Exactly. Copilot manages its contextual memory through highly aggressive compression. When the conversation history approaches the token limit, the Copilot harness automatically summarizes the earlier interactions to save space. But the code is not a novel. If an AI summarizes a narrative story, you still get the gist of the plot, right?
Yeah.
If an AI summarizes a strict variable declaration or a complex interface contract, the code literally breaks. When you compress context in a massive code base, you lose vital architectural nuance.
So it hallucinates the directory structure because it literally forgot the details.
Exactly. It summarily forgot the exact file path. Claude Code's deterministic agent teams avoid this by segmenting the code base. So the full, uncompressed context of a specific directory is always preserved for that specific sub-agent.
Okay, so you are not paying $200 for raw intelligence.
No, you are paying for the rigorous orchestration of memory that prevents a multi-file refactor from silently corrupting your repository.
Wow. Okay, but this massive capability gap and these wildly different approaches to context management lead directly to the current enterprise crisis we're seeing.
The token crisis.
Yes. Because when you give developers powerful agentic loops where the AI can write code, run the test, read the error logs, and rewrite the code completely autonomously, the traditional financial models of software engineering completely break down.
They absolutely shatter. We are witnessing a very painful transition from predictable flat-rate software as a service seat licenses to highly unpredictable consumption-based billing.
And no company modeled this financial breakdown better than Uber?
Oh, the Uber story is wild.
It is staggering. So Uber wanted their engineering teams moving faster, naturally. So they aggressively incentivized AI usage by putting up internal leaderboards.
Gamifying coding. What could go wrong?
Right. 84% of their 5,000 engineers became heavy, daily users of agentic tools like Claude Code and Cursor. And the result? They burned through their entire AI tool allocation of their 2026 R&D budget in just 4 months.
4 months. It is a textbook manifestation of Goodhart's law. Mm-hmm. You know, when a measure becomes a target, it ceases to be a good measure.
Right. Uber targeted token consumption as a proxy metric for engineering productivity.
And the engineers weren't being malicious. They were just optimizing for the environment they were given. They wanted to be at the top of the leaderboard.
But individual engineers were costing the company between $500 and $2,000 a month just in API token spend.
This is what we call the token paradox.
Break that down.
So raw computational costs per token are dropping globally, right? Compute is getting cheaper. Mm. But agentic workflows consume exponentially more tokens.
Because they run in loops.
Exactly. When a developer asks a simple chat question in a Copilot sidebar, it's one prompt and one response. Cheap. But when an agent runs a multi-step refactor, it enters an autonomous loop.
It writes a file, checks its own syntax.
It executes a terminal command, parses the massive error log, rewrites the file, and runs the entire test suite again. That loop might execute 30 times in a single minute, burning maximum context tokens on every single cycle.
It's basically like giving a fleet of heavy-duty, fuel-guzzling dump trucks a blank check to deliver a single pizza just because you didn't give the dispatcher a strict budget.
That is exactly what it's like. And that token maxing culture absolutely destroyed flat-rate forecasting for chief financial officers everywhere.
Which ties directly into the breaking news out of Microsoft.
Yeah, this just happened.
Right. Internal Microsoft engineers actually preferred Claude Code for their heavy refactoring work, despite Copilot being an internal product.
Which is telling in itself.
Yeah. But Rajesh Jha, the executive VP of the Experiences and Devices Division, just issued a hard mandate. He ordered his teams to cancel all Claude Code licenses by June 30th and switch exclusively back to Copilot CLI.
It is a totally decisive move to regain financial control. I mean, Uber's chief operating officer explicitly stated recently that they cannot draw a definitive line between their massive token spend and actual measurable increases in shipped consumer features.
So they're burning cash with nothing to show for it.
Right. Enterprises are realizing they're paying for the illusion of work-high token burn from agents just spinning in loops without guaranteed return on investment.
But, okay, let me challenge this enterprise mindset for a second.
Okay.
If these agentic tools are genuinely making your developers twice as productive, who cares if they spend $2,000 a month on tokens?
Well, the CFO cares.
I mean, sure, but a senior engineer in San Francisco costs $15,000 to $20,000 a month in salary and benefits alone. A $2,000 API bill is a fraction of their cost. Aren't companies like Microsoft and Uber being incredibly short-sighted by cutting these licenses just to save on the API margin?
I see your point, but it's not just about the raw cost of the API bill. It is about the unpredictable nature of the spikes and the total lack of standardization.
Unpredictable as in one bad prompt could cost $100.
Exactly. This creates a desperate need for programmatic AI governance. And this is specifically why Microsoft wants its teams on Copilot CLI, because it offers strict policy controls at the architectural level, most notably something called pre-tool use hooks.
Oh, I've heard of these. Explain how those hooks actually function in practice for the developers listening.
Sure. Think of a pre-tool use hook at a mandatory security checkpoint. Before the AI agent is allowed to execute a shell command or modify a file or spin up an expensive cloud sub-agent, the hook fires an event.
And intercepts the action.
Right. It checks the corporate policy. It checks the specific team's daily token budget allocation. And it can physically block the execution of that specific action if it violates the rules.
Wow.
It forces developers into standardized, manageable tool chains rather than a Wild West environment of infinite token burning. It reigns in the chaos of the dump trucks.
So the tooling literally has to constrain the agents to save both the architecture and the budget.
Yes.
That perfectly synthesizes our journey through the stack today. I mean, we started by looking at the intoxicating promise of increased code volume, junior developers shipping faster than ever before.
But we mapped out the hidden mechanics of how that vibe coding directly generates compounding technical debt.
Right. And we looked at the severe human cost as senior developers burn out, transforming from creators into reactive code janitors.
We explored how terminal agents attempt to solve this through deterministic architecture like Claude versus context compression like Copilot.
And finally, we unpacked the mechanism of the agentic token crisis and why enterprise CFOs are now demanding pre-tool use hooks just to stop the financial bleeding.
It is a massive paradigm shift in how we build and finance systems. And I want to leave you with one final structural thought to consider.
Let's hear it.
As artificial intelligence continues to drive the marginal cost of writing raw code down to near zero, the corresponding cost of verifying, securing, and maintaining that code is skyrocketing.
Because it takes human effort.
Exactly. So are we rapidly approaching a threshold where the true bottleneck in software engineering is no longer human creativity or typing speed or even compute power, but simply the hard biological limit of the human brain to comprehend the sheer scale and complexity of the systems being autonomously generated by these machines?
Man, the ultimate system failure happens when the human looking at the diagnostic dashboard simply cannot process the scale of the tower the machine just built.
Exactly.
Well, keep your architectural blueprints close, watch your API billing alerts, and we will catch you next time for another episode of Kernel Panic.